We are into another session, and it's kind of like last week. It was in the regards to children can be dismissed, insecurity, I think it was, and then we're going to look at today a little bit of fear. And it's interesting, fear, how it has a way to grip you. You know, it's just like, you know, just like looking at the headlights, you know, sometimes that fear that comes upon you sometimes. But, and sometimes that's going to happen. You know, we live in things and we happen and things happen around us. So you have that to where you experience fear. There's other times of fear out there that it's the fear of the unknown. You know, that, well, should I or shouldn't I? What if I do this? What if I do that? What if I try that and it's not what I'm supposed to do? But we've got to realize, and one of the things that I wrote down is, what has God spoken over you, but that you're fearful to attain it, or your fear holds you back from what God has asked you or has planned for you to do? And this is all building upon the plans that He has for all of us, the plans that are there for us to walk into. And so it's very important that we get a handle on these things in our life that are a weight. And I think insecurity is a weight. I think fear is a weight. Condemnation is going to be a weight. You know, anything that can be negatively or things to hold us back is going to restrict you, I believe, and restrict myself from receiving all that God has for me. And I've got to believe, and I do believe, that God has bigger and greater and better things even for me than this. Whatever it is, I don't know what it is, but I just believe it. And, you know, it's going to get better, and it's going to be with Him in it. It's bound to be good, you know. Even if I'm going through a terrible situation, I will be good because He's going to be there with me. We've thought of these families that are experiencing some sorrows, Pat and even this family in town. But even during those times of sorrow, if they have a relationship with God, and not just God, but Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, and they're Spirit-filled, and they're filled with the Holy Spirit, and they get that strength and that comfort and that ability to work through these tremendous situations that are very terrible. When you hear the news of death, when you hear of things of accidents, when you hear of things that have taken lives. I think just before I got in here, I saw on a news feed where that Malaysia, I think, airliner, they believe they have found the thing. And it was like, I didn't realize how many people. I figured it was a pretty big plane, but it was like 239 people, I think, is what the count was on it. But over 200 people they evidently are probably all dead. I mean, just boom, right then. And you think of what happens when the news is taken and shared with the family. But we have a source of comfort. We've got a place to go. We've got something that we can grab hold of. Now, it's all by faith, right? Now, I'm grabbing hold of God right now, but I don't see Him. Do you? You know, I'm standing on His Word, and I'm believing and trusting, and I'm looking at what I've done already with Him and what He's already done with me. And so I look back, and I think, hey, it was good because He helped me back then. Why would He not help me now? And that's the thing that the enemy will sometimes, and the chatter we shared in Sunday school, I don't want people to think just because you got chatter in your head that you're demon-possessed. It's not that at all, but we just have this makeup within us, being able to make choices, right choices, wrong choices. You know, what you choose and how you act and what you do, who's the, you know, the friends you choose, you know, they say you can choose your friends, you can't choose your family. You're stuck with your family. I don't know how we're going to deal with that. I don't know. Turn it totally over to God, you know. But, so we got these choices and things that we can make. But we got to realize that with God with us, and as we allow Him into our lives, and that we have all these little things that happen within us that could cause us to stray from Him or cause us to doubt Him, or we get so captured in the fear because, you know, really where God is, there should be no fear in our lives because we should rest in His comfort. We should rest in His strength. We should rest in His knowing if, you know, I know who He is, and I'm sure He knows who He is. The devil knows who He is. But the thing is, the devil wants to get us into that fear factor type thing to where we lose all thought and process and can't process things. And then once you get in that fear, you don't remember and your mind just starts running rampant. Because then we shared a little bit about the what ifs. I deal with a lot of those sometimes, but then I realize I got to stop it. What ifs don't count. You'll never finish a discussion with somebody if they're asking you a question and they're doubting things of God and they just want to keep doing what ifs. What if? What if? You can go all the way through the Bible from Genesis to Revelations. They're still the last one. Say, well, but what if it was, you know, and it's like, oh my goodness. So we've got to be careful. We've got to be strong. Now, fear comes in. And you know, fear entered in. Just like, you know, we started this chapter, the series, about the first chatter taking place was really kind of like took back in the garden with Eve and that serpent, that little thing in her head, you know. Well, then you go back to that particular time frame in the garden, and you go to Genesis, and you look at Genesis 3:10. Now, up until that time, everything was going good. The Lord spoke. The Lord accomplished. He rested on the seventh. He had everything going. He got man, and then he got man a helpmate, and everything was just looking good. God gave some instructions, and of course, the one was that, you know, we look back here that, oh, let's see, I was going to share this here. But he was telling them about not to touch or eat the tree of knowledge, right? 17, thank you. And then God, I'm going to start in 16. And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden you may freely eat. Wow. No restrictions. Back then, God, there was no restriction. He said, every tree of the garden you can freely eat. But. The tree of knowledge of good and evil you shall not eat, for in the day you eat of it, you shall surely die. And so God kind of gave a thing there of saying, okay, here's something I want you to follow. I'm I'm giving you everything else, but just don't touch this, or don't eat this. And then we get over into 3, and then we find that the devil began to chatter with her and to Eve about, well, surely not. He's told you to do this or that. And then I get into 3, and I'm looking at here. And the woman said to the serpent, we may eat, in verse 2. Genesis 3:2. And the woman said to the serpent, we may eat the fruit of the trees of the garden, but the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God has said, you shall not eat, nor shall you touch it, lest you die. And then that's when the serpent started doing his thing. Now, I can't get into this. I don't know where I'm going with this, but I'm just going to throw it out there, and you can kind of think on it yourself because I'm going to think on it myself. But notice what God said in 3:17. But of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil you shall not eat, for in the day that you eat you shall surely die. You shall not eat. And then Eve threw in there, and maybe that's why I got to study a little bit more, but I just throw it out to you. And the woman said to the serpent, we may eat the fruit of the trees of the garden, but the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God has said, you shall not eat it, nor shall you touch it. Now, I don't know if there's just I'm just dividing words that really don't need to be divided, but God just said, don't eat of that tree. Eve said, he says, don't eat of the tree, nor don't even touch it. Now, it's probably good, because once you touch something, it's in your hand, you're probably going to eat it anyway. So maybe there's some things there, but I thought, that's interesting, because God just gave that one thing about don't eat it. She says, he said, don't touch it, nor eat it. So maybe back then, we're already starting to put things that God really didn't say. We're already saying it. So we got to be careful there, and that happens even in today's life. But you think it out and you study it and let me know about next week too. Okay, next we look at, but in 3:10 is where we go to. So now would they have eaten this and then they're the cool of the day. Evidently they would go down in the cool of the day, right, and ate. And they heard the sound of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord among the trees of the garden. And then the Lord called to Adam and said to him, where are you? And we go on and we find out. And it says, so he said, I heard your voice in the garden. And this is Adam. And I was what? Afraid. Now I got the New King James, so that's the first time that I came across the word fear or afraid from the very beginning of Genesis up to that point. So fear and afraid or fearfulness came into our understanding, you know, like in chapter 3, verse 10. All of a sudden now, I'm afraid. Wasn't afraid before, but they knew they had done something that they shouldn't, or Adam did, and so did Eve. So we find that fear because they knew they were wrong. So that is now, today, fast forward all the way from that time and Genesis 3:10 to, you know, Janesville, March of 2014, and just think of all the fear and the things that we are afraid of at times and how this has rippled out. Adam was scared and afraid because of what they had done. They'd gone against God. And now we have fear that has come upon all of us. And we can walk in that at times if we don't be careful. Now, we also look at fear is looking in Matthew in that particular area. There's a definition of fear in that area. It's talking about being panic or scared. We're going to go to 1 John, I believe, in a little bit. And we'll find there to where fear is listed as an in terror. And there's a lot of us walk through this life this day in terror, in panic. We're scared of a lot of things. And like the study said this morning, it's okay to be afraid for some things. It's okay to have fear, because sometimes fear does save you, you know. But there's the other side of that, to where when God has asked us or put something in us to do, or we're to learn, or whatever the case might be with God, we also have a tendency to run with fear to that. We hear God's voice, and it all sounds well and good, and then all of a sudden we get away from the church, or we get away from that special meeting that we were told, or we felt God impressed upon us to do something in His kingdom for Him, and we get further away from that, and pretty soon we start maybe beginning to walk in doubt, but we're not talking about doubt today. We're talking about fear. So maybe you begin to walk in fear because it's like, oh my goodness, at that meeting, I sensed God said I was going to go to a mission trip and I was going to go to this country and this was going to work and this was going to open up. And then all of a sudden, some of these things begin to open up, but we still begin to still walk in that fear because we still don't have the whole thing from the beginning to the end figured out. And so fear will creep in because you don't know the end, do you? I mean, if we knew the end, we'd not be fearful. Because you'd say, well, I'm not scared or I'm not fearful of doing that because I look and I see and this is what's going to happen. God's going to move me here and He's going to do this and this is what's going to happen and I'm going to fulfill that and He's going to be there for this. And oh, I'm going to fall down there and scrape my knee, but He's going to be there to pick me up. Kind of like He did with Peter when He got him out of the boat. Matthew, you know, well, come on out, you know. Talked a little bit about comfort zone today. We live in comfort zone. You know, we have our homes and offices now. You know, you can almost have them zoned out for temperatures and control. Perfect zone in your home. Perfect zoned in buildings to where you want it a little bit warmer over here, a little bit cooler over there. You want a little bit, turn the heat off or the air conditioner off here. So we as man, we love living in the zone. And you hear that in the world sometimes saying, you know, when you hear somebody, it's like, I'm in the zone. Tells you that like they're really focused, really. It's kind of like what some of the world would say, like, man. And there's others that say, man, look at that guy. He's zoned out. He's just like daydreaming, like, hey, he's not seeing what's going on. But we've got to be careful that we don't get ourselves and allow ourselves to get into a zone of comfort to where we don't react or respond to the things that God asks us to do. Because don't you think it was a lot more comfortable in that boat not walking on water than getting out and walking on water? A lot easier to sit there and look and say, hey, that's Jesus, or that's a ghost. No, it's Jesus walking across the water. So to sit in our areas of comfort, it's very easy and it's very nice, and it can become a habit, you know, to stay in that particular area. But just like We looked at that, or you could find that in Matthew about the walking on the water, is that even though Peter got out and he sank, there was help there. And I always thought, well, give that guy, you know, some attaboys. At least he got out. The other guy stayed in the boat. Amen. You know? And so that's the thing when we get back to what has God spoken over you? What has God put in you? When you've read his word and you've really meditated with him, it doesn't need to come from a prophetic voice from the church or from the altar or from me or from anybody else. There's times that God just puts it in you anyway, and he will put it in you, and then somebody may prophesy or go alongside to encourage you in that area to know that you've heard from God. But God has spoken to you, and so now you've got to take what God has spoken to you, and you've got to do what? You've got to act upon it. And it's usually not going to be something that you know that you can do on your own. It's going to be something that you got to step out of the boat, you've got to have no fear that whatever it is that he has asked you, whatever he has put upon you, and you've heard from him, and you're preparing that way, and you're meditating, you're in his word, and you're making sure that's all good and well to do. But you've got to ask yourself, what has God asked me to do today? Now, a lot of times you're thinking, well, he's asked me to go in the ministry, he's asked me to go on the mission field. No, it could be just that he's saying, I want you to share the good news message with this person, this family member, this friend, this person, whatever the case might be. And even doing that at times, we can walk in fear. Because it's like, oh, here comes. What if they ask me about that? What if they ask me about this? What if they ask me about what you did here? What if I don't have the right answer, God? You've got to trust God to know that if he's imparted upon you to do something, he's going to be there to give you the tools and the ability to accomplish it. He who has begun a good work in me is going to leave me to flounder and waller in whatever I do, and I don't have the power to do it. No. He who has begun a good work in me is what? Faithful. He is faithful to complete it. I've got to be faithful to move within it. And so his faith and my faith, what a dynamic duo, amen? And that's how we move through. That's how we develop things in the kingdom of God. That's how we develop our own spiritual muscles, our own abilities, our own growth with God. It's got to be by yourself or with yourself, with just a little bit of what I share up here, maybe 30%. Maybe 33%, and you know the rest of it is 66%. Got to be you to find it out, to dig it out, to mine it out of his word, to find it within your life, to find it within your walk, to where you know that you know that you know. Have you been to that point with God where you know that you know that you know that you just heard from God? Yeah. Like this morning, it's like all of a sudden. Just towards like the last few frames of just singing that song, it just hit me and it's like, shoulder. Shoulder. And even in there, I began to ask the Lord. I said, and I kind of felt it was like towards the left side, but I thought, well, I'm just going to go with the shoulder. But it's like, you know, you hear God. And he's wanting you to respond to him. And when he knows that when he says something to you, even by that of the Spirit, and you respond, he's saying, oh, okay, Tim, or okay, Linda, or Dawn, or Lou, or Dan, or Tracy, or Val, or Laura, all of us in here, when he responds, or we shares with us and we respond, he's saying, you're hearing me. Now I've got more for you. Now, just because I did that, does that mean like, oh, it's a piece of cake. Next time I hear it, I'm going to launch on. Hey, it's going to take time. But it's going to take steps of walking that direction. All that God wants us to do is to say, just walk in my direction that I have for you. And okay, so if you inadvertently say, does somebody here have a toenail that needs to be prayed for? And they don't have a toenail that needs to be prayed for. Don't let that be the stumbling block in your walk with me to stop listening to me and responding to me. Sometimes that's just like you, at least you got out of the boat and tried. You know? Sometimes that's the hardest part, is just to be able to stand before people and say, do you have an illness? Do you have something you need? This is what's been imparted or impressed upon any one of us. Any one of us. Tracy could do the same thing. All of a sudden, he could be sitting back there, and I truly believe, and I know God can do this, impress upon him about something that somebody is in this body here needs to have prayer over. And I would hope that he would develop, as we all are developing on this path that God has us on, to where we develop enough and we know that we're in a safe enough place that we can stand up or come up or, you know, say, or, you know, come to me maybe and say, Pastor, I really just felt impressed. God said this, and what do you think? Well, I'm going to say, well, if you felt God say that, well, let's go for it. Amen. Well, what if he didn't? Well, what if he did? See, there's those ifs. So the devil's going to say, what if you do this? What if you fail? What if you do that? What if you don't make it? What if that happens? What if you get this? What happens if that? What if? But then you got to turn that what if. You'll, okay, so okay, devil, we're going to deal with what ifs. That's what you like to deal with. Well, I'm going to say, well, what if this is God? What if God is in this? What if God's strength is going to be within me? What if God does follow or show up in this situation? Well, the devil's going to say, well, if that happens, I'm out of here. Well, that's what you got to do to the devil. You got to evict him anyway. So you're going to say, okay, if you're going to play this mind game with me, if you're going to say and give all these what ifs and what ifs if I fail, I'm going to say, but what if it is God, and what if it does happen, and what if God gets the glory? Well, I'm going to deal with the what ifs on the God side. If you're going to do a what if, go with God. Because we're going to still do what ifs. It's just going to happen. But maybe you've got to. Maybe that's our whole mindset. We've got to change our mindset from thinking of the God of this world and how he wants us to think negatively. But we've got to begin to say, you know what, I'm going to start thinking positively. I'm going to believe that these things can happen because God is a good God. Now, I'm not going to go flakiness and wackiness and things of God and all that. And, you know, like some people might pick up snakes and you know, play with them and all that and think that, hey, you know, if God wants to call me home, he'll have this snake bite me. Gee, you know. If that's the case, why don't you just get on a boat and go out in the middle of the ocean and just start walking on water then? You know, there's craziness out there. So you don't want to be crazy with God. God's not asking for a kingdom of crazy people. He's looking for a kingdom of faithful people. He's looking for a kingdom of people that hear him and respond to him, and they do so not to bring any light upon them, but to bring the light upon him. And that's the thing, as we step out and we do these things, it's just like salvation. We think it a lot of times that we've got to get them cleaned up before we want to even share what Jesus has done for them, and that gets us all frustrated. We just got to say, here's something that you ought to hold on to or think about, and let the Lord save them, you know, and then let him, by the Holy Spirit, clean them. Why do we think we got to do it all? It's just like he just wants you to share. Share the good news. Just share what I've done in your life. Share how I've helped you in that situation. Share how I showed up in your finances when you needed money. Share how I helped you in that physical need. Share how when you needed a car that I made a way, or I provided some transportation, or I provided the funds, or I provided a good deal, or I share all those things. That's what people want to hear. And as I share the good things that God has done for me, you know what? It's going to be fairly easy to slide into that other part and say, and they're going to say, well, boy, I wish I could have all that. And he's going to say, well, here's how I started. You might want to give this a try. Just ask the Lord Jesus into your heart. Allow him to be your Lord and Savior. Because he died for you anyway. Whether you accept him today or not, Jesus died for you anyway. Giving you an opportunity to sometime, some way, somewhere upon this life of walk of life that you're on, that you will have time to receive him as your Lord and Savior. And it's much more nicer to do it earlier than later, because you see so much wonderful benefits of what he has for you. But we can walk in fear and get in the comfort zone where we don't want to share that. We got the greatest message out there. We got the greatest thing out there, but we're fearful to share it because of what if they refuse it? Well, if they refuse it, we take it personally. We shouldn't. But I have done that. I've felt that way. It's held me back to share a lot of times because our human nature is, well, I'll take it personally, like they're going to think, oh, you know, it's me or what's wrong with me type thing. All you got to do is when you share it is you're just putting it on God anyway and let God move. And he will move by the Spirit because he knows the heart of the people already. See, he knows what's going on in that person's life, and he's just saying, all I need is to find one of my people just to share what I've done in their life in a good way. They don't even have to get radical. They just have to share just in just common language, just sharing what I've done, because that person needs to hear that. Or all that person needs to hear to set them over to the kingdom side is to say something about, you know, I just want to tell you that God loves you. And no matter where you've come from today or in your past, that he's here for you today. And I'm going to tell you something, friend. Even if you don't accept him today, he's going to be somewhere on your path tomorrow, waiting for you. And you can either meet him at that path at that time tomorrow, but I also believe if you don't, it'll be the next day. But I'm not wanting to tell you that he's going to just keep being out there because you never know what's going to happen, you know. But we got to let the people know that God loves them so much. Just like he did for you, he waited for you until how many years? Some of us, 12 years old. Some of us, 7 years old. Some of us, 30 years old. Some of us, 40 years old. But God waited for you. And he will do the same for those of today. So we don't have to have fear of how this is all going to work out, but our chatter in our head will just cause us to have fear, whether it's sharing of the good news, whether it's stepping out in something that God has got us to want, he wants us to do, whether it's in some kind of a ministry. It could be something that God speaks to you and says, I want you to step up and volunteer to be on the praise team. I want you to step up and volunteer to teach Sunday school. I want you to step up and volunteer to do this. And you're going, I can't do that. I'm not made that way. I'm not wired that way. Well, God can rewire you. Matter of fact, he's probably already rewired you as you receive Christ, and he's just wanting to start plugging you in. And as you plug into the things that he's asked for you to do, he will begin to continue to feed more of him into you because he wants you to succeed. God wants us to succeed. Not fall on our face. And if you by chance get out and he stretches you a little bit, he'll be just like what he was on the water with Peter. He will reach out. I don't think Peter went under very far. He reached out and he brought him right back. Now he did say, ye have little faith, but I mean, you know, there's some things that he's going to talk to you about. And that's okay. This is our dad. I'm going to say, why did you doubt this now, Tim? After all these years, after all these things I've been through you with, why? I don't know, Lord. I'm sorry. Forgive me. Fear, panic, scared, terror, any of those things that multiply within us when we begin to hear the things of God in our lives and what God wants from us. So let's just look at, he shared this morning a little bit in the talents in Matthew 25:14. Matthew 25:14 is talking about that, the parable of the talents. And we find that God is there, and this is the parable that Jesus is sharing. He says, for the kingdom of heaven is like a man traveling to a far country who called his own servants and delivered his goods to them. So he's setting this up as a parable to kind of say, hey, okay, this is what it's going to be about. And so we know the story. He gave to one 5 talents, and to another 2, and to another one, and to one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, and to another 1. To each according to what? Their own ability. So I find that God is not going to ask you to do something that you are not capable of doing. That is by each one, that's the way I'm reading this, to each according to his own ability, and immediately he went on a journey. And then he who had received the 5 talents went and traded them. And we know that these talents grew. The 5 what? He raised more. He who had received 2 gained 2 more. But he who had received 1 went and dug in the ground and hid in the Lord's money. And so if we look at this as a parable or as an example, as God entrusts something to you, we're scared that we might lose it, or we might lose face, or we might not succeed or give God what we think he's wanting. And so you've got talent built in you right now, don't you? You've got talent that God has put in you. And I would say and encourage you to let that talent be used. Invest that talent into the kingdom of God. Some of us might want to hold on to it. We don't want to lose it, or we don't want to abuse it, or we don't want to fail, or we're thinking like, well, yeah, God's given me this talent and this ability. That's really good, but I don't want to mess up, so I'm just going to kind of keep it right here because I'm scared that I might mess up. I'm scared, or I'm fearful that it's not going to come out the way that I think it should or that God wants it to. So I'm going to hold this talent. And so this is an example of, it didn't really please God when he came back, did he? Actually, he took that talent from that one and gave it to the other. Because God is saying, what I have placed within you, if you're not going to use it, I've got to find somebody that's going to use it. And I'm going to take it and I'm going to put it and deposit it into that person or into this group or into that people or whatever the case might be. So, we find here, let's see here, 25:14. As we get down to 24, maybe it's where I'm wanting to get to. Then he who had received the 1 talent and came and said, Lord, I knew you to be a hard man, reaping where you had not sown and gathering where you were not scattered seed. And I was what? Afraid. My Bible says, the servant saying, and I was afraid. And I went and I hid your talent in the ground. I still got it, but I was afraid. See, we're still looking at that area of being fearful, being afraid. And even as that parable is given as a servant and what the owner did, but how God has placed these talents and wanted them to be used, the one that only took the one and planted it, he was afraid. Mm-mm-mm. Now we go to 1 John. I go to 1 John 4, and it talks about here, knowing God through love, seeing God through love, and how powerful love is. And it says in 1 John 4:12, I'll start, no one has seen God at any time. If we love one another, God abides in us, and his love has been perfected in us. By this we know that we abide in him and he in us, because he has given us his Spirit. And we have seen and testify that the Father has sent the Son as Savior of the world. Whoever confesses that Jesus is the Son of God, God abides in him and he in God. And we know that and believe, and we know, and we have known and believed the love that God has for us. God is love, and he who abides in love abides in God, and God in him. So love, abide, love, we know love. We've shared love enough, but you can never share it too much, because that's some of the things that just quickly leaves us. But love has been perfected among us in this way, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because as he is, so are we in this world. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear, because fear involves torment. But he who fears has not been made perfect in love. Fear is talking here about that fear and terror and dread. There's a a fear that there's a point of fear that you will hear out there sometimes, that the fear in us will either, you will fight or flight. You either stand your ground and take charge or whatever, or you're going to run. You got a snap decision that you got to make, fight or flight in that particular area of fear. But as we look at this here, we find that as we look at there is no fear in love, but perfect love cast out fear. And as I walk with God and I know his love for me, and I know he's wanting us to walk in love, and if he's wanting us and me to walk in love, he's walking in love, and Jesus is there, and that was the greatest, what commandment are we to follow? Love thyself, or love thy neighbor as yourself. And the greatest of these commands is, you know, love one another. You have to love. And so as I know that love is so important to the kingdom of God, and that as I walk in the times of fear and how fear would entangle me, I've got to realize that God loves me. And that with his love that he loves me, because he loved me so much that he sent who? His only son, Jesus, to die for me. So his love, for God so loved the world that he gave. And so as I go through life, even now in the things that God is wanting me to do, I hope as you go through life and doing what God wants you to do, that you know that there's love there that should be casting away that fear that we would have. Because God is a God of love. It talked about in that study, and most of you that are here are in that study, so I'm just repeating myself and you've already heard it, but that in the New Testament, Jesus never really raised much of got upset with people that made mistakes. You know, you think of woman at the well, things of that nature, and how he touched and healed and told them to straighten out their life and go and sin no more and all these things. But what Jesus really got upset about was just those people that they would be lacking the faith, because Jesus is saying, you know, then you have doubt. And then if you have doubt, you begin with fear. And if you got fear, you're going to have insecurity. And if you got insecurity, you're going to be condemning yourself. And you get condemning yourself, you implode into yourself to where you get so much of worriedness and things within you that it's hard to hear what God is saying when God says, but Tim, I love you. Because I'm hearing all this other chatter of things in this world and things in my head of saying, I'm not lovable. I am not lovable because of this, because of that, because of this, because of those, whatever the case might be. But I've got to look at this and I've got to read and I've got to say, wow. There is no fear in love, but perfect love cast out fear. And look at that. Fear involves, my Bible says what? Torment. What does yours say? Similar? Torment? Torment? When you are walking in fear constantly, when you are living in fear day in and day out, when you hear fear in your head over and over about all these things that's taking place in your life and things that you need and things that you don't have and things that you need to attain, and you have fear that you're not going to make it, you have fear you're not going to meet it, you got fear you're not going to receive it, you all of a sudden begin to live in, it's just tormenting you. And you are running so much with fear running around you that we've got to remember what he did with that circle. You're here. Fear's going all the way around you. You better get your pens out or your pencil out or your big bold marker and make a big outer circle and say, but here's where my God is. And then let God deal with those things. Let God deal with that fear. Let God deal with that torment. Let God deal with that insecurity. Let God deal with that I'm not good enough to be loved by Jesus. Let God deal with, well, I'm a sinner and I don't think I'm ever going to be able to get right with God. Let God take all those things and deal with them, because he loves you. And walk in that love that he has. And clean yourself up, but clean yourself up with the help of God by that way of the Holy Spirit, where the Holy Spirit will just convict you of things. That's kind of fun after a while. If you get the understanding and a handle on what the Holy Spirit is doing, he's just kind of convicting you and just trying to help you pull this. Let's get rid of this out of your life. Yuck. Let's do this. Blech. Let's try this. Blech. You know? And all he's doing is just so that you eventually start feeling better about yourself. Because love yourself. Love your neighbor as yourself. And that's why we say that we don't have a love for our neighbor, because there's a lot of people out there and in the churches that really they don't love themselves, because they're tormented. They have this thought within them that they're nasty, they're ugly, they're bad, they're losers, they'll never amount to anything. It's a rough life, I'm never going to have a better life. All this stuff that just we have been dumped on through life, we've allowed it to build up within us. And when that happens, now that I know of God, and now that God is in my life, I know I've got a place that I can go to dump it. Dump it at the altar. Dump it. And you say, well, what happens if it comes on at, you know, Tuesday afternoon at 3 o'clock? I can't run out here to church, dump it at the altar. Well, you just dump it wherever you're at. In your living room, in your kitchen, in your car, in the bathroom, in the basement, whatever it is. Just say, enough is enough. I give it over to you, God. Thank you for it. And thank you for the strength. Thank you for the peace. Thank you for the clarity. Thank you for the freedom I've got right now, because I've turned this tormenting thing over to you, this insecurity, this fear that I've been walking in all these years. And all of a sudden, I begin to see where this love is. Bringing in love is casting out that. Amen. And it's his perfect love. It's not my, I don't have perfect love. Not like him, right? But he's got love for us, for you. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. Hallelujah. Well, Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you for your presence, your wonderful word, your wonderful strength and peace, the love that we receive from your word.